Mark chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 12. This morning's sermon, about 99% of it's going to come from one verse. But we're going to look at the context, which will make sense of the verse. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's stand, please. The context of what we're going to look at this morning comes from this verse that says, "And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." So this was the missionary journey of the disciples as they went out. Now if you look to chapter 6 and verse 30, afterwards they come to Jesus and it says, "And the apostles, those who had been sent out, gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." And here's the text this morning. I told my wife, it might not be the best time of the year to preach on this text. We're in a vacation mode this summer. But I'm going to speak on verse 31. I consider it one of this, it's a transformative verse. If you're able to hear the word of God apart from vacations and sleeping until noon, it is a transforming verse. To me, it's a verse I memorized 40 years ago nearly, because it is so central to the Christian life. Verse 31, "He said unto them," Jesus said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship," privately or individually is the idea. We're going to look at verse 31 primarily. I have entitled this, "Rest for the Journey." Rest for the journey. Let us pray. Our Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. I thank you for the privilege of this text, of even being able to memorize it and think about it and meditate on it. It has been a verse that helped me immensely as a young man and through the years. And I would ask that you would help me this morning to be able to talk about these central truths of finding rest for the journey, the path we're on. Help me this morning help me to remember all those things that are so important and to be able to clearly and powerfully preach this text. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. He was our best martial arts instructor. He was not the best martial artist, which is related to one's gifts, but he was the best instructor. Knowledgeable, patient, detail-oriented, very good with children, and a student of martial arts in the technicalities. At the time, he was a little older than me. I was probably 32, 33. He was probably 5 years older than me, and he was single. He taught every single night except Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he taught all day Saturday martial arts. And one night, I didn't go to the dojo at nighttime. I went during the day. One night, he took his equipment, his uniform, he took all of it, set it in the corner of a dojo, and walked away and never came back. And everybody knew the reason. We use the term, I'm only going to use it in the introduction, he burnt himself out. He did nothing other than teach. He never came back. I remember talking to some of the other instructors saying, "When is Mr. So-and-so coming back?" And they said, "We don't think he is." And I don't think he ever came back. This text sets forth some exceptionally important truths from the Lord Jesus. However, the context, meaning the circumstances and the situation, sets up what Jesus says. So look back at verse 12. We have the first mission of the disciples. Understand, I told my wife this morning a little bit, it's hard to preach this in the summer for two reasons. I have people here that don't work. And when you don't work, you're trying to figure out how to stay awake. So I'm really speaking to those people who are working. Some are going to school. Some are working two jobs. And they're trying to survive. Because this is said in the context of the disciples, verse 12. It says, they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. They were swamped, busy. In verse 30, it says, and they got the apostles, those, an apostle, apostoloi means one sent forth. It can have a general designation or a more specific. In this case, it's kind of debatable, but they had been sent forth to this mission. They come back, gather themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And then it goes on, and then he gives the command in the middle of verse 31. Mark adds to what Jesus says by saying, there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They did not have the opportunity, the convenient time, even to eat. By the way, if a man doesn't have time to eat, does he have time to meditate? Does he have time to pray? Does he have time to sleep properly? These people were overwhelmed. Jesus speaks to this group. I'm going to say exactly four things this morning, and I actually want you to get all four of them, because I think rest for the journey. If we know our life is a long journey, learning to get the proper what's necessary to get us to the end of the race is very important. Otherwise, I find people that fall by the wayside because they cannot figure out how to get what's necessary to survive. What do we find in the text? Number one, we find a change on purpose. Look at verse 31. When Jesus speaks to the apostles, he says this, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on these words, forgive me. He said unto them, come, or actually come apart. And then he adds some things to this, ye. Now you say, that's old English. Everyone look at me, you do know in English, let me back up. I have to spend time doing this, because otherwise you'll read past this like this is a religion. Spanish and Greek share something in common. If you have a Spanish verb, the pronoun is part of the verb. English doesn't usually work that way. Meaning in English, you have to put a pronoun, I, we, you, y'all, he, she, it, they. You have to put a pronoun with the verb, with one exception, commands. If I say stand up, the pronoun's assumed in a command. In Greek, like in Spanish, the pronouns are part of the verb. That's a lot of explanation, isn't it? Now look at the text in English. Why do I say that? This command, looks, it gets down into your soul. Come apart. It already has the pronoun in it. Y'all. All of you. And then he adds, ye. So it's come apart, y'all. You. And then he adds another pronoun, yourself. So it's like, look up here, you all come apart, you, yourself. And then there's a pronoun that's not even in the English translation because there's just too much stuff. I mean, it's like Jesus is catching us by the throat and saying, you all, you need to come apart. So number one, I hope you heard this, come apart on purpose. He's not giving us an option. He is grabbing us by the throat because he wants us to understand we need rest for the journey. What do we make of this? Well, this is what I make of it. This is to be done. It's to be done intentionally or on purpose. It is also our own responsibility, and it's only our responsibility. So if you don't find rest for your journey, It is your responsibility to find it and your fault if you don't find it. Because Jesus is grabbing us by the throat and saying, come apart, y'all. You, yourself, individually. I mean, I don't know how much more he can say. I want to say this, folks. I have read the New Testament in the original language. This is the only place in the Bible where it goes boom, 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 five times in a row, trying to get your attention. You must do this. You must find a way to find rest for your journey. Come apart. Change on purpose. It is ours alone to figure out how to do it. It is ours alone to understand myself and the needs of myself. It is mine alone to implement this. It is also mine alone and yours alone to evaluate the effectiveness of what you're doing. So friend, please look at me. When Jesus says you change on purpose, you're in a journey, you're running, you're working, you need to learn how to change on purpose, you've got to do it and you have to evaluate, is what I'm doing helping me in the journey? Is it refreshing me? Is it encouraging me? Is it strengthening me? It's my job. Let me ask it this way. Whatever you've been doing, how's that been working for you? Please look at me. That's the question you have to ask yourself. How's it been working for you? You say, Pastor Warren, I get up every morning, and if I have time, I read the Bible. How's that been working for you? You must come to the place where you realize this is your job. For many people, life is a series of crises, drama, collapses, falling apart, perpetually exhausted. Look me in the eyes. If you're perpetually exhausted, and every time anybody sees you, the first words out of your mouth are, "Ah," do you understand whose fault that is? You do not have that busy of a life. You have not learned to do what's necessary for you to get strength for the journey. For many people, their life is a series of crises, drama, collapses, falling apart, perpetually exhausted, crashing and burning, and in some cases, tragically burning out. My wife and I were just on a vacation in Mexico. We had a really good time. I enjoyed almost everything except getting lost a couple places. And I don't have near the amount of patience that my friend Pete Vasilovich has, but when I get lost, I get impatient. My wife is not saying a word. Isn't that sweet? But there's something we do every time we come back from Mexico. We drive to the Cancun airport, put off our rental car, we go inside, and we watch people who have been on vacation. They're angry. They're sleeping. I thought you went on vacation to rest. Why are you sleeping in the airport? Because their vacation, look at me, didn't help them. Can I ask you a question? How has what you've been doing been working? Folks, it's your job. Change on purpose. You're responsible for this. It's kind of funny to watch people exhausted, depressed, sleepy, griping, frustrated, passed out, and you're like, didn't you just go on vacation? Somebody asked me, how have you gotten over your vacation? It's like, we went on vacation to relax. I was good. Isn't that the purpose of vacation? No, I don't need a vacation. What? Let me say something else, and this is the only mean thing I'm going to say all morning. Sometime, by the way, I wrote this sermon about 2 months ago. Someday during the school year, I got frustrated. I got frustrated with the same group of people being absent from church every single week. And I added something up, so I'm going to add this up for you. At Lake County Baptist School, we give you 2 weeks at Christmas time to go on vacation. We give you 1 week of spring break. You have 4 Mondays off per year and 7 Fridays. And we're still exhausted. That's not including summer break. That's not including 4th of July. I'm talking about school time. 7 Fridays, 4 Mondays, 2 weeks off for Christmas, 1 week off for spring break, and we're still... Come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. Change on purpose. And if what you've been doing doesn't work... By the way, you know the statement, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If I keep doing the same thing with the same results, what am I? I must learn, and I'm going to get into more what I think this looks like, but I must learn what Ralph Warren needs to be strong for the journey. And I must do those things lest I become a burnout or a casualty or one of these people that they have never learned how to walk with God, spend time with God, relax, and all the things necessary, and they look at church as a bunch of bad people, and I can't stand them, and they don't realize who's on the outside. Who's on the outside? The church is doing great. My friend, this is our work. Change on purpose. Number two, look back at verse 31 again, please. I hope that I can share some insight in this next idea. I say number two, Jesus says, come ye yourselves apart, and he even tells us, into a desert place. I want you to look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to read right through Mark, about a half a dozen verses. Look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 3. This word, eremos, sometimes with the word tapas too, eremos, it doesn't mean desert like sand. It means a place that's solitary or a place where people aren't there or where there's not the people coming and going and the busyness and the noise. It's a place of be still and know that I am God. It's a place of quiet. Mark chapter 1, verse 3 is the first time we find this. John the Baptist, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But it doesn't mean wilderness like in the middle of Colorado. It means where there's no people. Verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness. Again, same Greek word, in a place without people. Chapter 1 and verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him, Jesus, into the wilderness, into this deserted place. Verse 13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days. Chapter 1 and verse 35, please. 1 in verse 35. By the way, folks, this is a central teaching. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed, look what it says, into a solitary place. Translates it a little differently there, solitary. But it's that same word, eremos. It means a solitary place, a place without people, a place without coming and going, without noise, without all the pressures. It means, folks, look at me, it means in the journey of life, you and I must understand this. I need to have a change on purpose. And I need to have a change, and I'm going to say it two ways, of place, or maybe better this, of pace. You can't run. Sometimes you have to... I'm going to try to put this into physical terms in a moment. Continue reading with me. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and raised abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, deserted places, solitary places, places without people. Chapter 6, please. Chapter 6. We come back to our text is the next reference. Jesus says, come ye yourselves into a desert place. Deserted place, solitary place, a place where it's a change of place and our pace. Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place or a deserted place. Verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Now, let me give you a secret. It's a weird thought. When I was a boy in high school, one of my friends, he got a part-time job at, I thought at the time, heaven. He got a part-time job in high school at Kentucky Fried Chicken. if that's not heaven, it at least gets you to heaven a lot earlier than if you don't go there. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful. His name was Ronnie Crank. One day, Ronnie and I were talking in high school, and I said, Ronnie, how do you like your job? He says, it's okay. I said, but do you get to eat all the chicken you want? And he says, I can't stand chicken. Now, you have to understand, I looked at him like, are you got a problem? You don't like fried chicken? He says, Ralph, every day, all you do is work around frying chicken. He says, I can't stand chicken. Something slipped into my small brain. And you need to hear. Because, by the way, when we leave here today, this sermon is a waste of your time until you figure yourself out. What is it that refreshes you? Where do you have to go? A person that works at KFC doesn't go there to... You just don't. You don't ever want to see chicken again, probably for 5 years after you quit. You say, what do you mean by this? I'm glad you ask. I don't think the thing is always a change of place as much as a change of pace. Life is like this. The disciples were inundated with people. They needed a place with what? Without people. Let's say it with me. They were inundated with people. They needed a place. Yes. But what if you work in a place where you don't work around people? The very thing you might need in order to recharge you might be a place with people. Most of you understand, my wife and I go to places where there's nobody. Do you know why? Because I don't want to be around people on vacation. I don't want to see people. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to know their problems. I just want to soak up. You say, do you go on a beach? No, I look too much like a beach whale. I like to go someplace where I'm by myself and Jenny's with me and we're out seeing beauty and nature and history. And once in a while, you say hi to somebody. This is a great insight. Where one goes on vacation, hear me, listen, where one person goes on vacation, another person works. And the person that works where you go on vacation never goes on vacation there. You need to learn yourself, and you need to learn what a change of place and pace is for you. Some people go to Disney World for vacation. I would think Disney World would be something like water torture. But I do know this. People who live and work at Disney World don't vacation there. Jenny and I went to the great city in the Maya world. It's called Calakmul. It's in the southern part of the state of Campeche, right next to Guatemala. It is lovely. It is remote. You see all kinds of birds there, monkeys, howler monkeys, buildings, pyramids, and the most beautiful thing, listen, no people. But I got a question. Do you think the people that work at Calakmul go on vacation there? I'm asking you a question. Do you understand some of us always do what we don't need and can never figure out why we're not in a better condition? Do you not know yourself? Do you not know what you need not to come back to church on Sunday morning and go, oh, I'm exhausted from your vacation? Weren't you on vacation to get charged up from your day off? I'm exhausted. My friend, you need to learn what you need. And what you and I need is this. We need to realize God puts this in our hands. He says, Ralph, Raphael, Pete Vasilovich, and every other name, you need to come apart. But you need to come apart. It needs to be a change, listen to me, of pace. Whatever that means for you. And how you know it is it works. And if it doesn't work, something's wrong with what you're doing. Because the nature is the disciples needed to get away from people. But a person that lives a solitary life, getting away from people will not help you. It will keep you exactly where you are. Seems to me to be obvious. I would assume people that work at the mall don't go to the mall on the days off. Strange people might. here's what I think. You need to do what you need to do and what you need for rest. Don't just go with your instincts. Don't just go with what you've always done. Constantly, ruthlessly evaluate yourself and ask this question: how is this working? If it's not strengthening you, it's not working, do something else. Go with what actually refreshes you. Mark 6:31. Look with me, please. Mark 6:31. And he said unto them, a change on purpose, come ye yourselves. All of you, come ye yourselves, and with a word that's not even translated, individually, apart into a desert place and rest. A change on purpose, a change of pace or place or both, and number three, a change to obtain grace. We need grace for the race set before us. We need rest for the journey God has put us in. If you'll hold your hand here, because we're going to come back here. If you look with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Friend, Christian, church member, what you do for years, after a while, means there's something in you you're not going to change. You have decided, I'm going to do this. I don't understand that. My goodness, how many times do I have to hit my head on something? How many times do I need to stick my hand into the fire to realize, you know, that fire hurts? After a while, I realize what I've been doing doesn't work. I need to do what works practically. Here's the point. Please look at me, and we'll go to the verse. Here's the point. From Josh over here to Bambi over here to Sarah back here in the corner, and everywhere in between, every person in this room needs the grace of God in their life. Now hear me, you're looking at a pastor that wants you to go on vacation, probably not 11 times a year. Do you know why? Because it doesn't work. How do I know that? I have two eyes. I want you to have vacation. I want you to have, hear me, daily rhythms, weekly rhythms, and seasonal rhythms that whereby you and I can obtain the grace of God for the race set before us. Acts 20, verse 32. Paul takes the elders, the leaders, the pastors, elders, bishops, or overseers, and he says, and now, brethren, he says, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He's saying, friend, you want to find God in his grace, and his grace is found in the Bible. It's the word of God that gives us grace. So you and I, hear me, I'm going to say this again. Lake County Baptist is a body. Not every person in Lake County comes to this church. I'm not talking about that. But the people that separate themselves from this church or any other church, and they spend all of their life pointing at this church, you don't understand, all they're doing is talking about themselves. They're the one that didn't find God's grace for their race, and they're no longer in the race. They're outside of the race, criticizing those in the race. My friend, I don't want you to be a casualty. I don't want you to be a burnout. You must find what you need. Look at me. I'm going to give you many suggestions this morning. May I? On our website, we have two books we recommend. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Morning and Evening. You can get it for about $10 electronically. Use it in the morning, use it at night. It's a good place to start. Walking with God, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Excerpts from some of his sermons every day. If you need help, get help. Find yourself what you need to begin the day with. Spurgeon's not a bad place, by the way. Find yourself a place. Find yourself something. I'm going to say this. This is not about anybody specific. It's about everybody. Pastor Warren only has one ability with people. I see patterns. And I can't stand to see the same thing repeat itself over and over. So if you're a person that every time you're not talking about the world, you're talking about you. You haven't found the place. When I was in Bible college, Jordan, you're in school. Are you in school this summer? But you'll be back in school. Medical school's pretty easy. You have not much to do you? In medical school, young lady, you must find something, whether it's morning and evening, walking with God, some kind of Bible reading. Sometime you've got to find a place and some space to spend time with God to refresh the soul. Or at the end of medical school, you'll go on to residency apart from God. See, I've lived this. I used to go to school full-time and work full-time at the same time. I remember not having time to read the Bible while I was in Bible college. So how do you do it? You steal some space. You steal some time in a location, and you fixate on that. And you, for me, I had a little 3x5 binder. I still have them upstairs. I wrote verses on it. I would take that binder when I went in to shave in the morning, and I would open it up to the verses, and I would try to feed my soul some of Scripture. I would take those same binders, probably not a good idea, when I drove down the road, didn't have telephones back in those days, I would hold it in my left hand and look at it. I learned Greek and Hebrew in my car, looking at it while I was driving. You said, were you distracted? Not as bad as you are when you're texting. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Job says this, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When I was a young man, some pastor or writer said something. He said, no Bible, no breakfast. You know, no law, no lunch. And I'm thinking, I like to eat. So I learned the first thing in the morning, get some kind of space where I can get alone with God. My friend, do a change on purpose. Change of pace. Daily, weekly, seasonally. Your vacations ought to seasonally kick in, and it ought to be done in a way where when you're on your vacation, forgive me, your vacation is not a place to run to here, run like a madman. It's a place to actually do this, to be refreshed. For some of us, that means we need to be with a bunch of people and talk. For some of us, that means we need to be alone. For probably all of us, it's some of a combination, but when you can get alone and refresh and recharge, because you have the race set before you. You have the journey. You need grace for that race. You need strength for it. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6, would you please? Proverbs 6. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. I worked at a laboratory years ago, and we had a person that came in at midnight. I worked evenings, got off at 11:30. This lady came in at 11 o'clock. Every night, she did exactly the same thing. She walked into the lounge. We're usually by 11, we're pretty much wrapped everything up. She walked in, and there was four or five of us seated there, and she went, Then she would walk over to the refrigerator, and I'm not exaggerating at all. She'd put her stuff in until one night one of the girls was good at mimicking people. So when she came there, this girl, I don't remember the girl's name, she did that. And this other girl was like, my friend, this is your life. You will either be a casualty or of no value, look at me, to God and your family unless you learn to come apart on purpose. It's a change on purpose. It's a change of pace and place, and it's a change to obtain some grace. Proverbs 6, verse 20. You all know this passage. I love this passage. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I like to do this the first thing at night. You know when you're going to sleep? But look what it says in verse 21. This is what you do when you go to sleep. Last thought. Bind them continually upon thy heart, the center of your being, and tie them about thy neck. Christy, you don't have to do that this week. You can do that next week. By the way, he's not talking about physical anyhow. What's he saying? Look here. The Word of God, center of your life, center of your being. Friend, I look around this room. There's ladies here with children. Now, Champagne doesn't have a hard time. She only has four sons, four children, one big, three little, and her sons are perfect. But I say this honestly, Champagne, you got to find places, and I'm going to give you three places. Number one, first thing in the morning, if you got to put something in your bathroom mirror. Secondly, when you go to bed at night, bind the Word of some text, some song. How about a song? Some Christian, something that saturates the soul. So the night is kept. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Meaning, make them the center of your existence. Look what verse 22 says. I love verse 22. When thou goest, it, that which you have tied around your neck and centered in your heart, when thou goest, it, the Word of God, shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I've said this many times, friend. The Word of God, verse 22, becomes your guide. It leads you. It becomes your guard. It guards your thoughts and your heart and all of the junk that, folks, isn't it better to go to sleep thinking about God, truth, text, songs, letting that guard the heart all night? So the Word of God guides us. It guards our heart. And when we wake up the next morning, it shall talk with thee. It becomes our guest. 95 to 97% of what I ever preach happens in the morning, because the night before I think about text and it work on them all night long, and it's like the Word of God is speaking to me in the morning. Please look at me. Champagne, you have four sons, one big one, three little ones. Which one's the best, by the way? Malachi, that's a given, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty much a given. You have a husband, that's a responsibility. You have three handsome boys, that's a responsibility. You're working, that's a responsibility. I already know you don't have any time. Guess what? If you're going to survive, guess who has to figure out those places? You. And they can't be, let me take 6 months off so I can recuperate. They have to be in, look at me, folks, got to be in the journey. They got to be part of the journey. And they have to be done on a daily basis, rhythms, weekly rhythms. And yes, occasionally you get to set aside some time and maybe visit family, maybe go someplace, maybe spend some time having fun just with the kids. That's good too. So these, they're daily, they're weekly, and they're seasonally. Got to do it. Look at the text again. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Psalm 119, verse 92, the psalmist says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul tells Timothy, a young protege, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Morning and Evening by Spurgeon, Walking with God by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, meditating, memorizing, reading, thinking. You say, Pastor Warren, I have no time. Hold on. Do you drive? You can buy the Bible on CD. You can get it on your dumb cell phone, the kind that speaks to you. My friend, look at me, and I'm done with this point. You better find yourself a place, because you must have a change on purpose, for your benefit, for your health. It's got to be not a change that you always do that never works, that leaves you right back where you were. No, a change that refreshes you. A change of pace and maybe place. Thirdly, a change to obtain grace. It's the grace of God. It's what I need every day. It's what brings us through. It's what helps us. I can't tell you what to do. Please look at me. I'm going to go to the last point and be done. I can't tell you what to do. Because what I do at 58 years old is very different than what you're going to do. I know what I do. I do several things, but one thing I do is if I find something interesting, in the Bible, I just start reading. So I might read a whole book of the Bible in one setting. That helps me. For other people, that's unthinkable. It's not about you. It's about finding the place to obtain God's grace. So frankly, I'm not a casualty like so many people. Mark 6:31. Would you look with me? Mark 6:31. Let's look at the last concept. And he said unto them, come, y'all, ye yourself. Then some two untranslated words that mean individually, apart. So a change on purpose, a change of place or pace into a desert place, and rest, a change to obtain grace. Grace for the journey. You have to be able to eat, sleep. You also have to be able to feed on the Word of God. You know, we have to know that God's Word is more important than our daily bread. By the way, friend, Leo, you're leaving again. How many pounds did you lose in boot camp? How many in this room would like to lose 25 pounds? Not that way. 25 pounds, that would be one leg. And then I need to lose, no. May I say this to you? Most of us can't lose any weight when it comes to spiritual matters. Look at the last concept. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest. What's the next two words? A while. It's a change on purpose. It's a change of place and our pace. It's a change to obtain grace. And number four, it is a change for a while. Life is about the ebb and flow of life. Life flows out, it comes back. Flows out, comes back. It's on, it's off. There are daily rhythms you must establish. Weekly rhythms, seasonal rhythms. Now, I'm going to close by telling something I know nothing about. NASCAR. When I say I know nothing about NASCAR, I have never watched a single race. I have been to a drag race in the 70s. This is going, you know, the drag racers, Big Daddy Dungarlitz, some of you will remember that name. I almost went deaf one time. Never been to NASCAR. NASCAR doesn't interest me. It's not bad or good. It doesn't interest me. But one thing, please look at me, interests me at NASCAR. The pit stop. No matter how great of a racer you are, you got to pull in for fuel. And if it's a 500-mile one, you have to pull in for more than fuel. And by the way, please look at me, religious people. I'll wait. If you tend to blow off what I'm saying today, you'll be a casualty. Because they have to be, look at me, ruthless at pulling into the pit stop. Not only for gas, but what else? And which tires? The only thing I like about NASCAR or any of those things is watching them. I mean, this guy pulls in like a rocket, stops on a, like here. They come out. One guy is putting gasoline on the fly. The other guys pop off two tires, tires are rolling, and they're back out. Look at me. You have to be ruthless to stop at the proper times. Because if you don't, your tires wear out, and you do what in the race? Crash or lose the race. Or worst of all, and I've seen this on reviews, you run out of gas and look like a fool. Because who, look at me in the eyes, folks, who didn't learn to do what they needed to do? You. Now I'm going to say the only profound thing I'm going to say outside of reading the text this morning. Are you ready? You cannot win the race of life in the pit. So if you're a person that's constantly sleeping in life, you're already out of the race. Can you imagine you're in the Indianapolis 500 and you just pull in the pit and say, I want to win? Huh? You got a race. But you also, number two, are you ready? You can't win without the pit. So if you're in the race and you're going someplace and you're trying to become something, today, you must establish daily, weekly, and seasonal rhythms. Apart from them, you'll never win. You will be a casualty. You will be a casualty, which is going to show up in your children, grandchildren, on down the line. Here it is, friend. Do you know what a pit stop's for? Hold it, and I'm done. Those racers and their team are ruthless. They know what they have to do to win. You can be the greatest racer in the world, but if you don't pull in at the right time and get gas, or fuel, they don't use gas, fuel, and if you don't pull in and get your tires changed, you will lose. You can't win in the pit, but you can't win without the pit. I think it's time for us to develop some pit stops in this room. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.